would tonight, take your Bibles and go with me for just a few minutes. In the New Testament, the book of Luke. Luke, chapter number 10 tonight. I want to share this passage of Scripture with you and some things the Lord's laid on my heart. Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10. And Jesus having a conversation with a lawyer, a scribe, and the scribe is trying to twist Jesus in his words, and Jesus takes the opportunity to call him on the floor, and also, I believe, call us all on the floor. The question that the lawyer asks is, what do you mean? What is a neighbor? And Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, beginning verse number 30, answers. Luke chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. We come to this passage of Scripture, famous passage of Scripture, the story of the Good Samaritan. The Bible doesn't make it out to be a parable. It's not classified in the same as the parables, but Jesus tells a story. As I read it and think about it, I'm pretty confident that this actually happened. Jesus wasn't just telling a story for the sake of a story. I believe it actually happened. The scribe could have just said, you made this story up, but I think this is something that happened. Whether it happened or not, this is the spirit we see of certain people. And it's easy to become the spirit of people that even sit in the pews of a place like Chilhowee Baptist Church. We can develop the persona and the attitude of the staunch Levite, the stiff-coated priest, or we can cultivate a heart of compassion, like the Good Samaritan. May God help us to have the spirit of the Good Samaritan. He cared more about himself. He cared more about others than he did himself. And he stood out, an unlikely candidate, as a man that rescued a certain man, the Bible says, was half dead. Look what the Bible says in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I read this and I thought it was kind of interesting. There was between two cities of great religion. I'm talking, this was big time. Jerusalem and Jericho. Two cities of great religion. Those houses of religion, they had developed a great system. And they had worshipped the forms and the formalities. And out of these places of religion came men that dressed like religious people and talked like religious people. But you know what's sad to me? Out of these two cities of great religion, they couldn't do enough or make a big enough difference to make the street safe between the two places. And I'll just have you know something. Dead, cold, heartless, rudimentary religion does not produce lasting effects and change the lives of people, but a heart of compassion will. The Bible says, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. What happened to this man? He's between these two great religious centers, and on his way there, between the two, he gets beat up, stripped, robbed. Reminds me of the devil. You know, the devil loves to make people think that what they're going to get through sin and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is going to produce something great. But the devil is a thief and a liar. And he sells a bill of goods that is no good at all. It actually leads to death. To the thieves, this man was a victim to exploit. And they had taken advantage of him. And the Bible says something that I find very interesting. The last two words of verse 30. They left him half dead. Half dead. If you're half dead, what's that mean? That means if something doesn't happen, you're going to die. But if something does, you can live. If something happens, you can live. If something doesn't, you're going to die. And I want you to know something. I've been thinking about that. And I've been convicted by this fact that you and I, we are Christians living in a half-dead world. And we have an opportunity, not only an opportunity, but a privilege to be a soul winner, to be a witness, to be a light, to make an impact for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of people. Folks expect the pastor to reach out to the hurting. But I want you to know something. This pastor expects you to do the same thing. Folks expect the youth pastor to have a burden for the lost. And I expect him to. But I'd say he stands with me. I know he does. We want our church, and we want all Christians, and more importantly than what we want, God wants you to have a heart of compassion in a half-dead world. May we not fall into this trap. Let's see these guys. To the thieves, this man was a victim to exploit. To the priests and the Levite, he was a nuisance to be ignored. Now, this is easy for us to trap for us to fall into. You know, I got saved when I was 8 years old. I did. My, it was wonderful. I got gloriously saved. I'll never forget it. God changed me. I became a new creature. Hallelujah. How many of you tonight have a testimony that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Savior? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Amen. I'm so glad to be saved. You know, it's possible to be saved and become complacent and calloused in your religious experience to a point that you really don't care about other people. If I were to ask you, do you care about other people? You'd say yes. But the real question is not do you care about other people, do your actions prove that you care of other people? Now, if you talk to the priest in this passage of Scripture, you know what the priest would have said? You say, do you care about other people? Well, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I've given my whole life to making sure that the ordinances of the temple are performed correctly. I make sure that the bread is right and the sacrifice is right, and I make sure that my clothes are right. I make sure that my prayers are long enough and my voice is loud enough, and I make certain that the order of the temple is exactly the way it should be. Yet, look what the Bible says about this man. The Bible says of this priest, he came past a half-dead man. If something doesn't change, the man's not going to make it. He's halfway there. He's right on the brink of destruction or success. And the Bible says in verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He saw the condition of the man, and he said, you know what? I don't want to defile my garments. He might be more than half dead. If he had touched a dead body, he would have been sacrificially unclean. Or ceremonial unclean, I should say. And instead of having compassion on a man in the ditch that had a chance to survive, what's he do? Shoo, no thank you. He passed by on the other side, turned his nose up and kept on going about his religion. If you'd asked that man, do you care about people? He said, yes, I do. But his compassion was not compassion at all. He'd had a religious experience and he'd decided that what he did was what made things right with God, and he didn't care about other people. But I want you to know, folks, that's not the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd asked the Levite, do you care about other people? You know what the Levite's purpose was? The Levite's purpose was to make certain that truth was passed down from generation to generation to generation. The Levite was the man when the children's choir were standing up and they were quoting the Old Testament, they were quoting the Ten Commandments. He was the one that would say, you missed a word. He said, stop. You got it out of order. Now, he was the guy that made sure every T was crossed and every I was dotted. And his burden was to pass the truth from generation to generation. And honestly, that's a great burden. And I carry that. I carry that burden. You should too. Hey, I don't want to just know the Bible and know truth and experience the glory of being a child of God and the riches of God's Word. How many of you have noticed how rich God's Word is? Every time I study it to preach it again, I can preach the same passage over and over again. And every time the Lord shows me something else, another treasure, another jewel. I don't have to be creative. I don't have to be, I don't have to be imaginative. It's just there. How many of you have noticed as we're preaching through the Bible and you read it, you're like, wow, it's right there. The book's awesome. And we should pass it on to other generations, but we shouldn't become so caught up in protecting something that we forget who we're protecting it for. We have a need to have a burden for people. You ask the Lord, do you care about me? Yes, I've given my whole life to preserving the truth. Some of the meanest people I've ever known call themselves theologians. And I want to look at them and say, you need to meet the person you've been studying. Because if you get Jesus in your heart, not only will you have a good understanding of theology, you'll find out that it works. Hey, you know what? Bible truth works to change lives. And the Levite, he was protecting the truth, but he had no compassion. Mr. Levite, do you care about and have compassion on people? Oh, yes. Do your actions prove it? Absolutely not. The man is half dead. If something doesn't change, if something doesn't give, the man's not going to make it. And the Levite sees him and passes by on the other side. Isn't that awful? We think it's awful, but how many times do we pass by someone in the grocery store and the Lord gives us a clear opportunity to show compassion and love, a kind word or a good deed, a gospel tract? And instead of having compassion, we move forward in our pompous Christianity, so-called, and we do not show compassion. You see, this man was half dead. And in a half dead world, we need Christians with compassion that will make a difference. The Bible says in verse 33, but, hey, will you be the exception? The word but is an exception. He says there's a Levite, there's a priest, and they did the wrong thing. And Jesus looks at this lawyer and he says, but, hey, we need some people who says, I will be the exception. I'll be different. I'm not going to get so busy with life, so caught up in religion, that I fail to invest in the lives of other people. But a certain Samaritan. Now, this is fascinating. Now, if you were to put these three people together, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, who do you think would Be the first to help somebody. Well, I look at the lineup and I think, well, the priest probably. Because, I mean, that's kind of his job, you know? And then, second place, the Levite. I mean, if somebody knows and loves the Bible, knows and loves truth, surely they'll have compassion on somebody. Surely he remembered the passage of Scripture about compassion. And third on the list, at the very bottom, is the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritan, by the Jews, was deemed a man that was unclean, unholy. The priest and Levite would look down their nose and say, he's not one of us. The priest and Levite, they wouldn't have ate at his house. They wouldn't have been caught in public together. But it was the Samaritan. And who's telling the story? Jesus. A Jew. Jesus says, but there was a certain Samaritan, a very unlikely person. Do you know who God likes to use? Unlikely people. Unlikely people. I want the Lord to use me. I'm not going to be the one that confesses that he is. But I want the Lord to use me. But I'll just tell you, I'm an unlikely candidate. I remember a time in my childhood that I couldn't spit out a sentence because I stuttered terribly. I remember. It drove me nuts. And I think it drove my mom a little crazy too. She was very patient and she loved me through it, but I couldn't stand it. I stuttered. It was awful. I was a stutterer. And yet God called me to preach and gave me the opportunity to preach. It was unlikely. You say, I'm backwards. Hey, God calls backwards people. I remember Justin Gritstead and I, we surrendered the call to preach about the same time, the same summer. And Justin was so shy. God called him to preach, and he uses unlikely candidates. God called Matthew to preach, and God uses unlikely candidates. David, would you consider yourself an unlikely candidate? But God's using you. God's using you. And it doesn't just include people. Some of the people who have made the greatest difference in the life and this world for the gospel are people you'd never know their names. I don't even know the guy's name, but I know this about him. He got a burden one time for a little boy, as a teenage boy, a young teenage boy. There were so many kids at home that his mama couldn't afford to feed him. And I can't imagine the conversation that this mother had with her young teenage boy. They sat down at the table one night and there wasn't enough food. And she looked at her son and she said, Dwight, I hate to tell you this, but you're a grown boy and I can't afford to feed you. We've got some family in Chicago, and if you just take off there, and you're going to have to get a job and you're going to have to start to fend for yourself. 13, 14 years old. Can you imagine that? That boy took off to Chicago, lost, and got him a job in a shoe store, stocking shoes and tending to things. And this guy, I don't even know his name, but this guy, he went by that shoe store one day. He barely had enough courage to say anything to anybody. He'd walk by that shoe store and look through the window, and God put a burden in his heart for that boy. He walked by and pray and walked by and pray, and as I remember the story, finally one day got up the courage to talk to that young boy. Told him about Jesus. The boy put his faith and trust in Christ, and God changed his life. I don't know who the boy is with the burden. He's some Samaritan. The little Dwight of stocking shoes, his name's Dwight L. Moody. And God used him to shake the world. I know of another story. It was a really snowy night in Europe. It was rough. the preacher, the normal preacher, couldn't make it to church. So there was a layman and two or three other people, and some young teenage boy had just showed up at church on a snowy night. I can just see this. You can see how this goes in our church. It would be like, I don't know, you want to preach? I'll preach. I guess I can. I mean, we're here, we might as well preach. A layman, I don't know his name, he's just some Samaritan. He stood up that night and preached a very simple gospel message. The man that sat in the pews and heard the message and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we know him as the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Folks, I just want you to know something. God uses Samaritans, unlikely people, to do amazing things. And if the Lord would let me, I'd love to be a Samaritan just like this one and have some compassion and share Christ. Look, some things that the Samaritan did. The Bible says in verse number 33, it's not rocket science. It's something we can all do. He says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Where are we to be working the cause of Christ? When we show up on Sunday morning, blow the dust off the cover of our Bibles, or clear our throats so we can tell somebody? No! You're to be a witness, and you're to share the gospel and the love of Christ as you journey. You're going to see people this week that I'll never see in my life. You better take the opportunities that God gives you to show the love of Christ. As they went, the Bible says, as he journeyed, he came where he was. Do you think it's an accident that God sent this big-hearted, compassionate Samaritan where the certain man that had been robbed and was half dead? Do you think it's a quit? No. And I just want you to know something. If you'll let God, he will lead you into divine appointments, and he'll put you in the path of folks. We just have to be willing to speak up. As he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, that's the next question I want to ask. Are you looking for opportunities to serve the Lord? I'll just let you know something. I have never met someone who genuinely desired to serve the Lord with their life that wasn't busy. Now, this may make you mad, but I know it's true. If you are not busy serving the Lord, it's because you do not desire to serve the Lord. Some people say, I want something to do for the Lord. Well, they're looking for some type of title. Hey, look, everywhere I've ever been to serve the Lord, I've been able to find a toilet to clean. Everywhere I've ever been to serve the Lord, I've been able to find trash to take out. Everywhere I've ever been to serve the Lord, I found some task that needed to be accomplished. And if you want to serve Jesus, have the spirit of a Samaritan and be willing to do something that may not be the most important appearing thing, and you'll find that God will put you in the way of opportunities to see God do amazing things. The Bible says he saw him. Are you looking for something to do? As soon as you start looking around for opportunities, you'll see them. He had compassion on him. The Bible says in verse number 34, and went to him. Now, it was as he journeyed, but when he saw the need, what did he have to do? He had to step out of his way a little bit. We need to be willing to be inconvenienced for the needs of men and women and boys and girls, and be willing to go to them. He went to him. And then after he went to him, the Bible says he bound up his wounds. He poured oil. He poured oil. Why? Because the oil would soothe the pain. He poured wine. Why? Because the wine would kill the disease and bring cleanliness. He set him on his own beast. He said, here, you ride, I'll walk. He made a sacrifice. It wasn't enormous, but he made a sacrifice. He put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then Jesus looks at the lawyer and he says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Who was the neighbor? Who pleased the Lord? I'll tell you. Actually, let's let the lawyer tell us. He didn't want to admit that it was a Samaritan. He didn't want to bring that across his mouth. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Who did God exalt? The Samaritan. The merciful. What does God want? He wants to use unlikely people like us to make a difference and show compassion in a half-dead world. Here's what Jesus says. Then said Jesus, verse number 37, unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. What's our commission? Go. Do it. Do it just like the Samaritan. Show compassion. Make a difference. Here's what I want you to think about. It's a serious matter. This week, how many half-dead people are we going to run into? Hey, a half-dead person is somebody that's teetering between heaven and hell. Between heaven and hell. And folks, our world is full of them. As you see it this week, let me ask you this question. How many of you say, with the Lord's help, I'm going to be looking this week for opportunities to show compassion in a half-dead world? How many of you say that? I'm going to look. Good. When you start looking, you'll start seeing it. How many of you will say this? In a half-dead world, not only am I going to be looking, but as the Lord gives me opportunity with His help, I'm going to do something about it. You say, I don't know what to do. How many of you are like, I don't know what to do? Here's what I found out. When you approach half-dead people with the love of Christ, you don't necessarily have to know what to do. You have to show them love. It's part of the faith life. Reach out to them. Tell them, I'm praying for you. The first few times, it may be, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you? What's going on? God will help you. And God will use us to make a big difference in a half-dead world. I want to be like that Samaritan. Who knows? Who knows what a difference it might make? Something I want to know when I get to heaven. I want to know what a difference this man, you know, the half-dead man, I want to know what a difference he made. I've got a feeling that God used him in a mighty way. We don't hear of him again. We don't hear of the Samaritan, and it's not about accolade. But I'll tell you something. There's half-dead people everywhere. And you and I, we have the gospel. So many of us acknowledged just a few minutes ago that we know Jesus as our Savior. We have the gospel. We have hope. Preach it. Live it. Share it. Let's show compassion in a half-dead world.